called Peace in the Storm. Peace in the Storm. Come on, tell your neighbor, neighbor, you can have peace in the storm. Do you believe that today? The amazing thing about Jesus is that he gives us peace in the middle of the storm. You see, man-made peace comes when the problem is gone, right? If we want to make peace, we just get rid of the problem, then we have peace. But that's not how the peace of God works. The peace of God is so powerful, so incredible, so transcendent that God can give you peace when you are right in the middle of the trouble. That's the God I serve. So I felt the need to spend some time dealing with stress and worry and anxiety and even anger and depression. And we're going to be tackling these issues for the next 3 weeks. And it's been said that 90% of all diseases are stress-related. 90% of all diseases are associated in some way with stress. In other words, stress will kill you. Listen to this study. It's estimated that in the United States, last year alone, Americans spent $300 billion on medical expenses related to stress. $300 billion treating medical conditions associated with stress. That, by the way, that's $100 billion more than we spent dealing with obesity. I guess it's better to be fat and happy than skinny and stressed. My doctor doesn't appreciate my interpretation of the data, but that's how I look at it. But did you know that Americans make up 6% of the world's population, yet we consume 90% of the world's supply of anxiety medications? 90%. There is something wrong with that picture, y'all. We are stressed out. Stress and fear and anxiety are taking a toll on us. And this series is all about discovering the truth and knowing that God can give you peace even in the midst of the storm. So this morning I want to talk specifically about worry. The word worry actually comes from an old German word that means literally to strangle or to choke. I think that's pretty accurate, don't you? Amen. Worry can be debilitating. That's what worry does. It strangles the life out of you if you allow it to grow in your life. And I think we all know that worry is bad. I think you know it and I know it and we all know it. But what do? We worry anyway. It's as if we have to worry about things. We have to worry about the economy. We have to worry about our health. We have to worry about the kids. We have to worry about what's going on in our community and in our nation. And what do? We worry, 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 worry all the time. I'll be honest with you, worry is one of my personal struggles because there is always something to be worried about. Worried on Sunday, worried on Monday, especially as a father. Now that just opened up a whole dimension of paranoia in my life, okay? I just imagine all these horrible situations and I just worry, worry, worry constantly. And even in the seasons of life when I'm not worried about anything, you think that I would enjoy that, but I worry because maybe I'm not aware of something that I need to be worried about. Can anybody relate to that? Come on, everything seems fine and you're nervous. You're worried because you're just waiting for something to go wrong. We worry all the time. And this morning I came to tell you that worry is more dangerous than you might think. Let's listen to what the Bible says in Romans 4:23. I want to look at the very last part of that verse. This is one of the most significant phrases in all of the New Testament. Romans 14:23 says, "Whatever is not from faith is sin." Look at that. Whatever is not from faith, the Bible says, is
sin.
Two of y'all. Whatever's not from faith is
sin.
Hello, you waking up now. That's what I'm talking about. Everything that does not come from faith, the Bible calls it sin. And guess what? Worry does not come from faith. In fact, worry is the opposite of faith. So if I can get real with you this morning, worry is actually putting your faith in the enemy. Worry is saying, I choose to believe the worst possible outcome. Worry is putting your faith in the bad things rather than putting your faith in our God who is good. We sing about that this morning. Worry does not come from faith, and everything that doesn't come from faith is
sin.
So let's define worry. I'm going to give you a definition of worry this morning that you can use. Worry is the sin of trusting the problem more than God. Ooh, I'm going to say that again so you can put that on Twitter and Instagram and whatever else. All right, let me say that again. Worry is the sin of trusting the problem more than God. Most of us have an unhealthy relationship with worry. Come on, we cling to it like it's our best friend. We protect it like it's our best friend. Okay, but let me tell you something this morning. Worry is not your friend. Worry is the enemy. Heard about two so-called friends who were camping one time, and all of a sudden a big old grizzly bear came up on the campsite just snarling, growling, showing his teeth, roaring at him. I mean, he was coming after them. And his friend looked at him, and he started putting on his tennis shoes. And he said, "Man, you can't outrun a bear." He said, "I ain't got to outrun the bear. I just got to outrun you." And that's how worry is. Worry ain't your friend. Worry doesn't care about you. You might be camping out with worry, but worry's going to let the bear get you. Some of y'all are hanging around worry like it's your best friend. It is your enemy. And in fact, it's one of your worst enemies, because worry is one of the devil's best tools that he uses against you. How many of y'all want to know about spiritual warfare this morning? How many of you want to know how to fight the good fight of faith? Let me tell you something about spiritual warfare. Worry is one of the primary weapons of the enemy that he uses against you. And why is worry such an effective weapon of the enemy? Why is it such a powerful tool? I'll tell you why. Because it consumes our minds. The mind is the battlefield on which spiritual warfare is fought. And this is why worry is effective, because when you're worried about something, you're constantly thinking about it. All the time. Think about it all day long. You lay in bed awake, staring at the ceiling, thinking about it all night long. Worry will consume you if you allow it to. What happens is that you have a negative thought, you have a thought of fear, you have a thought of worry, and you allow that little thought to grow up and to become an imagination. Let me tell you the difference between thoughts and imaginations, okay? Let's say that you're having chest pain. You might have a thought of, "Hey, I'm having a heart attack." That's a thought. And if that's your thought, you need to call 911, okay? You don't ignore thoughts like that. But here's the problem, is that you have chest pains, and that thought, if you dwell on that thought and you feed that thought, then you picture yourself dying right where you are, and then you picture the funeral home dressing you up, and then you picture your family members crying over your casket, and then you get mad because you realize that they're going to Hardee's afterwards telling jokes. Just being real, y'all. Crying over you 5 minutes later, telling jokes at Hardee's. That's how people are, I know. But what happens is you let one thought grow up into an all-consuming imagination. And listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. It says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." We have to take charge of our thoughts, church. We have to control them, because if we don't control our thoughts will control us. And you've got to bring those thoughts into obedience to Christ and throw out those imaginations. So what's the opposite of worry? According to the Bible, the opposite of worry is faith. The devil's weapon is worry. Our weapon is faith in God. And let me tell you, our gun is bigger than the devil's gun. Amen. 1 John 5, verse 4, everyone born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So we can be people of worry, or we can be people of faith, but we cannot be both. I don't know about you, but I want to be a person of faith, amen? Why? Because faith pushes worry out. The more faith grows in your heart, the less room worry has to hang out, y'all. Faith displaces worry. Okay, and here's something else you need to know. Worry will not leave your life voluntarily. Come on, it's like your crazy cousin from Alabama who comes and spends the weekend with you, and then 5 months later, you're sitting there, you're turning the power off, you're putting the heat on 1,000 degrees, trying to get them out, and they just won't leave. Amen. Worry will never leave your life voluntarily. Okay? Worry is like wrong people. Again, wrong people will never leave your life voluntarily. They have to be invited out of your life. Worry is the same way. Worry will not leave you voluntarily. Worry is a force, and the only way to get rid of worry is by bringing in a force greater than worry. Amen. Worry is a bully. All you need is to bring in faith, and faith will kick the worry out. Faith displaces worry. Faith pushes worry out. How do you get faith? Let me tell you how you get faith this morning. I like to keep it simple, y'all. How do you get faith? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Let me tell you how I interpret that scripture. Faith comes by hearing God's voice. And how do you hear God's voice? By the word of God. So if you want to have faith, if you want to grow in faith, you need to know what the Word of God says about your life, about your situation, about this world. Amen. If you want to grow in faith, you need to continually be hearing the Word of God. If the last scripture you read last week was the last scripture on this screen, you've got a problem. Mm-hmm. I've been watching some of y'all. If the last scripture you read last week was the last scripture on the screen in church, yo, you got a problem. F.F. Bosworth said, no wonder so many Christians are starving. They feed themselves one little meal on Sunday and a cold snack on Wednesday night. Amen. If you're going to be a man of faith, a woman of faith, you have to continually be hearing the word of God. Amen. Feed yourself on the word and faith will grow. I want you to hear what the Word of God says, and this is going to help somebody this morning. 2 Timothy 1, 7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The spirit of fear does not come from God, and if you've been gripped with fear and gripped with worry and gripped with anxiety, that is not of God. That is not God's will for your life. So I want you to say this out loud. Come on, say, God has not given me a spirit of fear. Come on, say it again. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. This is a scripture that I tell myself all the time. You get tired of me preaching to you. I get tired of me preaching to me. I have to remind myself all the time, I'm not going to worry, I'm not going to fret, I'm not going to lose my mind. Why? Because God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. If my wife comes in our bathroom and there's little dots all over the mirror, it's because I've been preaching to myself, you're not going to give up, you're not going to worry, you're not going to stress. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Little dots all over the bathroom mirror. Some of y'all need to get your bathroom mirror dirty sometimes. When you start to worry, when you're afraid, you need to remember 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given you a spirit of fear. It's time that we stop worrying and we start believing the promises of God. Well, Pastor, are you telling me if I stop worrying that all my problems are going to go away and bad things won't ever happen? No! But what I am saying is that worry has never solved a single problem, and worry does not add anything to your life. Well, Jesus said in this world we will have tribulation, we will have troubles, we will have problems, we will face obstacles and situations, but the Bible says that worry never helps any of those things. Yeah. Worry adds nothing. Come on, tell somebody, worry adds nothing. If anything, worry takes things away from you. Let's look back at what Jesus said in Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Look down at verse 27. Which one of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? This is Jesus talking. Which one of you, by worrying, can make you any taller than you already are? Tell you what, if worrying could make you taller, some of y'all be playing for the NBA. Some of y'all be 30 feet tall. But the answer to Jesus' question is nobody. Worry will not add anything to your life. It doesn't make you taller. It adds nothing to you. It will accomplish nothing by sitting there and worrying. But what do? We worry anyway. We stay awake at night and let all the what-ifs run through our mind, and we entertain the thoughts and we entertain the imaginations, and we get knots in our stomach and we get ulcers and our back gets tight and our neck gets tight, and you're walking around like this because you're so tense and you squeak when you walk, you're so uptight. We get high blood pressure, we get headaches, we battle depression, we get bent out of shape. Why? Because we disobey the commandment of Jesus when he said, do not worry. Jesus said, don't do that. Come on, tell your neighbor, don't do that. Tell somebody else, don't worry. Jesus said, do not worry about your life. And if we're ever going to stop wrestling with worry, there are two things we have to do. I'm just going to give you two things, 2 points today, and then we'll close in prayer. Two steps to defeating worry. Number one is do what God asks you to do. Amen. Do what God asks you to do. If you're bold enough and brave enough, if you want to be a woman of faith, if you want to be a man of faith, I'm going to get you to make an oath this morning. So just raise your right hand and say this out loud. Say, I will do what God says do. Come on, say that again. I will do what God says do. That's the step number one to overcoming worry in your life. Simply do what God asks you to do. I think that many Christians, we tend to over-spiritualize things. We tend to put everything on God. Come on, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Won't he do it? He's going to do it. God's going to do it. And there are some things that God will do, but there are other things that God is waiting for us to do, y'all. You got to remember that this Christian walk is a partnership, and there are things that only God can do, but y'all, there's a whole bunch of stuff that only we can do. I'll give you an example. If you need a job, and I come up and ask you, are you out looking for jobs? Nope. Have you lined up any interviews? Nope. Have you been looking on Indeed.com? Nope. Have you created a profile on LinkedIn? Nope. Are you networking and talking to employers? No. Then what are you doing? Oh, I'm waiting on Jesus to send me a job. I'm just trusting him every day. Ain't been to a job interview in 6 months. Ain't picked up the phone not one time. I heard somebody say to me one time, if you ever find yourself unemployed and you can't find a job, get a broom and go start sweeping somewhere. You'll get on somebody's nerves so much they'll hire you. Ain't done nothing. Just waiting on Jesus. Come on, y'all. People do it all the time. You laughing, but you laughing at you because you are the same way. All of us, come on. We put stuff off on God so we don't have any responsibility ourselves. Maybe God's waiting for you to do your part. And people who over-spiritualize things tend to feed off of other people who over-spiritualize things. Talk about, well, somebody prophesied to me in the parking lot last week that God's going to send me a job. And that's wonderful. If that's of God, amen to that. God's going to send you a job. But what have you done? Because I'm going to prophesy to you again on top of their prophecy. I prophesy to you, if you don't get off your hind end and do a little bit of work, you won't be in a position to receive the job when God sends it to you. I've almost offended everybody. Let me keep going. Tell my pastor, I want to get married. I just want to get married. Bible says in Genesis, it's not good for a man to be alone. I want a wife. I want to get married. Oh, really? Have you been out of the house recently? Nope. Have you taken a bath in the last 6 months? Nope. Have you brushed your teeth since you were 12 years old? Come on, somebody. Have you ever engaged in conversation with somebody of the opposite sex? Nope. Have you shaved the back of your neck this year? Nope. Looking like Teen Wolf, and think somebody's going to marry you. But you tell me, well, Jesus is going to send me a wife. I'm trusting Jesus. I'm waiting for him to do it. I'm telling you, unless you do some stuff, she's not going to want to marry you if God himself came down in an audible voice and said, that's your husband. Come on, you have to do your part. Waiting on Jesus. Maybe you need to get out of your mama's basement and stop playing video games for 5 minutes. I better keep going. Listen, there are some things that God will do, but there are other things that we have to do. Sometimes you're sitting there worried because you're not fulfilling your responsibility. You're not doing your part. Think about somebody who's always broke. Talking about, God's going to get me out of debt. And that's good, and I believe that, but I've got to ask you some questions, okay? Are you using self-control when you spend money? Well, no. Are you putting any amount of money in savings every month? Well, no, I'm not doing that. Are you balancing your checkbook? Pastor, what's a checkbook? Are you keeping record of what you're spending? Well, no. All right, I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Are you tithing? Well, no. You see, sometimes your anxiety problem is really an integrity problem. Do you understand that? Sometimes we cause the anxiety because we're not obeying what God has spoken to us. Oh, God is faithful to fulfill his promise, but you have to do your part. Every promise comes with a condition. Amen. Y'all know that? You know, we're reading through the whole Bible this year. God says, if you do this, then I will do that. Yes. I said before you, life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life. Yes. Salvation is unconditional, but there are conditions that come with God's promises because every one of God's blessings say, if you obey me, then I'll bless you in this. I'll give you some examples. Malachi 3:10, if you bring the tithes and offerings to me, then I will open up the windows of heaven for you. Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, then you will eat the good of the land. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, if you forgive others, then God will forgive you. Ooh, that's a tough one right there, y'all. Ooh, help us, Jesus. If you forgive others, then God will. If you show mercy on them, he'll show mercy. Oh, that's a tough one, y'all. There's some creeps out there. That's a tough one. But Jesus said, if you forgive them, I'll forgive. I don't know about y'all, but that's pretty good motivation to forgive right there. Matthew 21:22, if you believe, then you'll receive what you ask in prayer. You see, it's a partnership, y'all. You do your part, then God does his part. Listen, you can't help that you got diabetes. But you can help how many donuts you'd be shoving in your mouth every day. Come on, y'all. Do your part and God will do his part. Don't be sitting there believing God for healing from the sugars when you're dumping sugar in your body 24 hours a day, drinking sweet tea from Bojangles, going for free refills. There may be things that you can't control, but there's always something that you can do to walk in obedience to God. Amen. Sometimes we need to change the way we think. Listen, if you want to live differently, it starts up here. There's a reason a baby is born head first, because if you can get your mind headed in the right direction, the rest will follow. You've got to learn to think differently. Wrong decisions can always be traced back to wrong thinking. I want y'all to think about this. You've all seen the stories. A rich person can lose everything. And then within a matter of years, they can build up their wealth all over again. And a poor person can win the lotto. I don't know why they say it like that. They can win the lotto. They can win the lottery. They become millionaires overnight, and give them 5 years and they've lost everything. Because it has nothing to do with the amount of money you have in the bank. It's all up here. It's how you think. If you want to make better choices, if you want to live a better life, you better learn how to think differently than you're thinking now. How do we do that? By thinking God's thoughts. Because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. How do you learn to think God's thoughts? By immersing yourself in the Word of God. Instead of responding to your situation in fear and defeat, you need to take those thoughts captive and say, nope, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. When you start to think, I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I'm a failure, I can't figure this out, I'll never learn, you need to start thinking the thoughts of God. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, I have the mind of Christ. Somebody tells you you're dumb, they tell you you have a... Listen, some of the best Bible teachers that I know personally grew up with learning disabilities, and because they believe God through those things, they become powerful teachers of the Word of God, because they didn't live by what everybody else said about them. They said, nope, I have the mind of Christ. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. I love this one. Ephesians 1:17, Jesus has given me the spirit of wisdom and understanding. You have to think the thoughts of God. Listen, the Bible says that you are an overcomer, but you got to start thinking like an overcomer. 1 John 4:4 says this, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Romans 8:37 says, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for me, who can be against me? Now, let's practice a little bit for Monday morning, y'all, because when you hear a message like this, the devil's going to come. He's going to attack you with worry and doubt and fear. So I want you to speak the word of God over your life. Come on, Romans 8:31. If God is for me, who can be against me? Say it again. If God is for me, who can be against me? Amen. Revelation 12:11 says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Isaiah 54:17. Oh, that's one of my favorites. When I was a teenager, I was on an airplane with my father. We were sneaking into Havana, Cuba. We left Montego Bay, Jamaica, for Kingston, Jamaica, flying in the middle of the night in an old Russian Aeroflot plane with big old propellers on it. And in the middle of the night, flying over the dark Caribbean, the power goes out, smoke starts to fill that plane, and you better believe, I thank God I memorized Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Some of y'all need to memorize some of these verses, because you're not going to always have a Bible or a Bible app or internet access where you are. You better have something stored up in your heart where you can stand and say, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. You can stand on God's promise, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Amen. You can stand on Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Come on, tell somebody, I'm an overcomer. Tell somebody else, I'm an overcomer. Come on, tell yourself, I'm an overcomer. Amen. I'm almost done, y'all. How do you defeat worry? Number one, by doing what God asks you to do. Number two, by giving God what you can't do.
That's right.
By giving God what you can't do. This can be tough sometimes, but there comes a point where we have to admit, okay, God, I can't fix this. We have to come to the realization that this is a problem that I can't solve. I don't have the power, the strength, the wisdom, the understanding. I don't have the resources. And in that moment, that's when you have to give that thing to God. It was the German theologian Reinhold Niebuhr that said, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change. Give me the courage to change the things that I can, and give me the wisdom to know the difference. There are things that we have no power to change. In this life, there will be trouble and tribulation and tragedy. We live in a world that has fallen, that is marked by sin and death. And worrying will not change those things one bit. Instead of worrying about what we cannot change, we must learn to give those things to God and to trust Him. Philippians 4 verse 6 says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And listen to what God's promise is. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What an incredible promise of God. I want to read that to you from the New Living Translation. I like how it just really breaks this verse down. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. What is it about Christians where prayer is the last thing we try when it ought to be the first thing we do? Come on, you talk to Bobby and talk to Mama and you talk to Bubba's Uncle Earl and then you talk to everybody else. You listen to what Oprah says and you go to Google and you read the news. You talk to any, you talk to strangers in Walmart, but you haven't talked to God about it yet. Come on, prayer ought to be the first thing we do, child of God. Bible says don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Those things you're worried about, those things you can't control, those things that you can't fix, take those things to God in prayer. The Bible says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. You've got to give that burden to God. It's too heavy for you anyway. Only God can handle it. Lay it down and don't pick it back up again.
All right.
Oh, how many times we come in church and we're heavy and we're worn down and we're carrying all these burdens. And we're about to buckle under the weight. And what do? We lay it down at the altar. We give that thing to God. Lord, I give you my burdens. I give you my care. I give you my worry. I give you my anxiety. But then you walk away. Nothing changed yet. You're like, God, it's right there. Just want to remind you, I gave you all my burdens, all these problems. It's right there. On that altar, Lord, those five things, I put them right there. Just want to make sure you don't. Well, if you're not going to do anything about it right now, what do? You pick it back up and you walk home and you go another week under the weight of those burdens. I dare you by faith to give those problems to God and leave them at His feet. God never intended for you to go through life with worry and with fear and with anxiety. Worry never fixed anything. Cast that anxiety over on God. Give it to Him and leave it in your hands. Make up your mind this morning. I'm not going to worry anymore. I'm going to trust God. No matter what, from this point forward, I will trust God. I will walk by faith. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to trust Him. Whether things go the way I want them to or they don't, I am going to trust God. I'll trust Him. Will you stand this moment as we pray for just a minute here this morning? Will you just close your eyes in prayer for a moment? I believe that God is dealing with some hearts today. Somebody came in here heavy laden this morning. You were carrying fears and worry, and you were carrying a tremendous amount of anxiety with you today. Listen, God wants you to cast that care on Him. Will you trust Him today? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You, God, that You love us and You care for us. And Lord, this morning, God, we choose to be people of faith and not people of fear. God, we choose to believe You and not believe the voice of the enemy. God, we choose to put our faith in You and no longer to put our faith in these problems. Because You are greater and You are stronger and You are more than able. God, give us the faith and the boldness. Give us the courage this morning to trust You, God, with every fear, with every worry, with every burden, with every anxiety. Lord, help us by faith, God, to lay those burdens on You. Right now where you are, will you begin to just pray and begin to just offer up everyone, to take every one of those situations to God. Don't hold on to that anxiety. Don't hold on to that worry. Begin to just give those things to Jesus right now. Lord, we give You every problem. We give You every broken relationship, God. We give You every marital problem, God, every family issue. God, we give those things to You this morning. Lord, we give You every worry. Worry, every fear, every doubt, Lord, every diagnosis, Lord, we give it to You. Lord, we stand on the promises of God that You are the Lord who heals us. You're the Lord, our healer. Lord, we thank You that Jesus paid the price for healing at Calvary, that He bore the burden for our cares and our worries and our fears and our anxieties. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Lord, we give those things to You right now by faith. We lift them up to You, Jesus, because You're greater and You're stronger. Oh, God, I've got a problem in my life that I cannot solve, that I cannot fix, Lord, but You can. You're greater and You're stronger. Come on, lift up every burden to Jesus this morning. God, we cast them on You. We give them to You. You have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And I thank You that I overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Right now in this moment, I want you to begin to open up your mouth and I want you to thank God for everything He's ever done in your life. I want you to thank Him for every battle that He's won, for every sickness and disease that He's healed, for every door that He's opened, for every need that He's met. Come on, lift up your hands and worship. Oh, Jesus, we thank You. We praise You for all that You've done. Lord, You have done great things. Hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Lord. Come on, lift up your voice and worship Him for just a moment. Hallelujah.
Every breath that I take.
Every moment I'm away.
Every moment I'm away.
Oh, yes, Lord, have Your way in me.
Lord, have Your way.
Lord, I give You my heart.
Lord, I give You
I give it all to You, Jesus. Everything I surrender to You this morning. Thank You, Lord. Lord, if You did it before, I know that You can do it again.
Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away.
Oh, Lord, have Your way.
Lord, have Your way.
Come on, lift up your voice one more time. Lord, I give You my heart.
Lord, I give You my
soul.